This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Welcome to The Informer. It's Tuesday, the 19th of December. I'm Ruby Susan.
And I'm Ian Muchamore. Tonight we're talking about families and why the holidays can be a difficult time for many of us. And to get us started, here is the wonderfully raspy Yvonne Gardner, the founder of Positive Attitude, which runs monthly luncheons for people living with HIV, including one this Christmas Day.
Well, first of all, I have to say every family is important, but I think for our community, I think the reason why I set up this program, which was over 30 years ago, Ian, was the fact that there was rejection. And kids were kicked out of home when they tried to discuss their sexuality. And we're talking about no matter what age. In those early days, and even today, it is still splitting up families, just having to expose their sexuality. So there's a lot of young men and women, and when I say young, well, anybody's younger than me, but I mean, at any age group, if you're not surrounded by family, and we're talking family, and if you're not surrounded also by our community family, it really is a very, very lonely time for a lot of people and a sad time for some unknown reason. I don't know, there seems to be something about Christmas, you know, and people still relate to, you know, family waking up under the tree. No matter, I can recall, I'm sure you can and most of the listeners, you know, when you'd jump out of bed and you'd sneak out to see if Santa would be there, or all that sort of stuff as kids, and your parents being there and all that. So I don't think, it doesn't matter what age we are, Ian, I just think it's important to share so people don't have to be alone through that. It seems to be a few days of the year. First of all, anyone's birthday or the individual's birthday, when they don't have family around them. A lot of people don't place importance on family, but I do. And especially Christmas and, for some unknown reason, New Year also. So it seems to be that a week or so between the lead up to Christmas and New Year, most people just want to see it in and over and into the next year, you know. People have had good years and bad years. But it happens to us all, and I just think Christmas seems to be a very, very bad time. I don't like the word sad, but it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to spend it alone. That's what I'm saying. And share, I say, and that's why we do the lunch program.
And if you want to join this year's luncheon on Christmas Day or to volunteer and support the team that put this together, you can contact Yvonne through the link we'll be sure to put up on the Informer webpage and on social media.
Now, Max McLean from Mind Australia is joining us in the studio, and we're going to be talking about looking after ourselves and others over the holiday period.
But up next, Ian spoke to Richard Keane from Living Positive Victoria, so stay tuned.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
So, Ruby, are you looking forward to Christmas?
I always enjoy getting stuff. I'll just put that out there. And my family, I'm very lucky that my family are very supportive, but I think Christmas always does tend to end to some interesting conversations. And the last 3 months have given everybody a lot to talk about, and my brother will not be there, so I'll be the only queer at my family Christmas. So I'm starting to field a few questions, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I have some mixed emotions around the holiday period. I enjoy all that catching up. I'm not sure my liver does with all the drinks and fun. but the holiday period can also be stressful. I'm already stressed from too much Mariah Carey.
Yes, all I want for Christmas, absolutely. But on tonight's show, we're actually going to explore how to manage the holiday period. So difficult issues with family relations or relationships, dealing with social isolation and loneliness, and how to look after your mental health and what to do if things are getting a bit hard.
I spoke with Richard Keane, Senior Project Officer with Living Positive Victoria, about his experience and the work of the organisation that it does to support people with living with HIV over this time. We have on the line Richard Keane, who is Senior Project Officer with Living Positive Victoria. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ian.
Richard, the holiday period, it can be quite fun, but it can also be quite stressful too. What are the challenges that people living with HIV can experience over this time?
People living with HIV come from all parts of the community and have a range of experiences over this period of time. I think historically, with such HIV stigma around those early years of AIDS, health was always a problem, disclosure was always a problem, and the social isolation that resulted from some of those issues impacting people's lives had a significant and probably amplified impact around this time of year. And whilst some of those early historical, I guess, illness things have faded for some members of our community, there's still others that are quite disproportionately impacted, and social isolation is still a huge issue for a number of members of our community.
The ideal vision that's presented to us through all the media is, over the holiday period, we're going to do something with our family. So what does social isolation mean over this time?
It's that aspect of life where sometimes you feel a little bit ashamed that you don't have places to go, that you don't have a wide support network, that all your friends are off doing other things with family. We talk about HIV stigma, but there's also what we call intersectional stigma, which means that there's different areas of our lives with our different identities and way that we define ourselves, that stigma of feeling socially isolated, not included in that general view of what is largely a religious and family celebration over this time of the year. And people can really feel left out at some stages with that. Christmas can be a complex time for people, and sometimes those family relationships and issues that go around them can really impact on people's day, particularly that day. And Ian, one of my favourite things to do on Christmas morning is sending messages to people, particularly if I know that those people aren't celebrating Christmas with anybody else, just to remind them how much they're valued in my life and that I'm thinking of them on that day. And that might be a good idea for some of your listeners to consider as well when they think about their broader community and their friendship network.
Now, for some people living with HIV, they may have had a discussion with friends and family around disclosure. For others, it may be that they've never had that conversation. Is this a time that they should be thinking about bringing this up?
It would be my personal advice to people to consider that pretty carefully. I think it's a time when it's always at the forefront of people's minds. I've always been out and disclosed with my family for a very long period of time, but there's still situations when there's new people that come along to a family event or things like that where you feel a little bit like you should be careful about what you're saying, you should be careful about the environment that you're in, and you're constantly adjusting yourself around those things. And disclosure is a very personal situation. It's something that I think people should plan around and be pretty informed about, and not necessarily do it in a reactive manner, as sometimes emotions can be a little bit jagged and not secure around this time of year.
We've got different communities of people living with HIV. We've got younger people, we've got older people, we've got people who are not gay men, who are not men who have sex with men. How is the experience different?
It's very broad range of experiences, Ian, and we make a really strong emphasis on holding a really broad range of activities to try and engage a really diverse range of our membership base in appropriate events for them. We have family events at this time of year. Just this week we had our Straight Arrows Christmas event where Santa comes along, and it's a time for individuals and families affected by HIV to come together in a safe environment and celebrate in that way. We also have Straight Arrows barbecues, which are directed to heterosexual men. We've recently had our Planet Positive over the weekend at the Laird this year with huge numbers of people turning up. So we make a real effort that we try and bring our communities together to sort of shore up ourselves. We can rebuild our energy, our vitalisation and our sense of connection to each other so we can share that experience before we head into this, what can be sometimes a challenging period.
And you had this Hampers program for many years now. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, and it's continued over a long period of time because despite all the advances in treatments and support and everything else that goes around a HIV diagnosis today, there are still many members of our community who were disproportionately affected in the early years of HIV, maybe spending this holiday period in a hospital environment, in a care environment, and we really like to emphasise and remind those people that they're not alone, and our Hamper program has been a great way of engaging with those individuals and really lifting their spirits. I was lucky enough a couple of years ago to participate in the delivery of our Christmas hampers. Even though I had a great knowledge about the program and what its intention was, to actually physically participate in taking those hampers around was quite a life-changing event for me, to see the joy, to see the humility that people have when all of a sudden they're considered and they're given something just for being who they are and just being reminded that they're cared for and supported and loved by our community.
Those hampers have gone out for this year, have they?
They certainly have. We've done 100 hampers this year, including 12 hampers that we donated to Positive Women Victoria to go out and engage with some of their more socially isolated members as well. So it's not just our organisation, it's a Coventry House partnership arrangement. We try and reach as many people as we can.
Richard, do you have any tips for people living with HIV over the holiday period?
Yes, first of all, don't be afraid to reach out. If you are feeling really low over this period of time, and sometimes Christmas Day itself and Boxing Day, those really slow days where there's nothing much happening outside, really use those supports and don't be afraid to give somebody a call on Lifeline or other services like that that are available and put on that extra staff over Christmas, because it's a challenging period, not only for people living with HIV, but for many people in our communities as well. So don't be afraid. The other thing to do is that there's probably a range of activities that you can engage with. Don't just stay sitting at home. Maybe you can go out and see a movie, even if it's by yourself. You get that sense that you've actually been out and participated in something for the day, which I think is really, really important.
Richard Keane, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Anne. And just before I go, can I wish all of your listeners a very, very happy holiday season and a safe and productive 2018.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427JOY949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
That's right. I'm Ruby and we are now joined by Max McLean, who has an older hand here at Joy for a few years ago with the program Well, 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 and who now is the Communications Director at Mind Australia. Now, Max, you've been very involved as well with the Mind Equality Centre, which opened up earlier this year.
That's right, yep.
So is this a centre that is particularly for the mental health and wellbeing for LGBTI people?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it was opened in May, I think, this year, mm-hmm. and I'm getting ahead of myself there.
Well, it's
New Year's Eve, here we come. Yeah, it was opened early this year. I mean, Mind Australia, which is a national mental health and wellbeing organisation, really recognised a need for mental health and counselling services and support for the LGBTIQ community. And they launched that in May. And the demand has been, has certainly borne that out.
I was going to say, good timing. Good timing on that one, getting it open this year. So, what has that journey been like since May? Has it been as expected? Obviously, I guess back in May we were not expecting the last 3 months, the announcement we got in the beginning of August to have occurred. Yeah. So that obviously may have increased maybe a bit of a more people coming through the door than there might have been otherwise.
Look, I won't be able to tell you too much about that. I'm fairly new to the organisation, but I can certainly tell you, yeah, there was through the whole postal survey, there was a definite increase in inquiries and people seeking support and counselling and wanting to talk through some issues and sort some things out. Yeah, it made quite an impact.
Yeah, and just tell us a little bit about the type of services, because one of the things you do is occupational therapy. I was trying to get my head around that.
I was trying to get my head around it just the other day, because I've been around for a while, and in my day occupational therapy was basket weaving and things like that, well, I think were around motor skills and so on. And I had a chat to the occupational therapist Lisa there yesterday, and I think it's occupation more around your daily activities and life skills. A lot of people can be challenged, for example, with anxiety and depression issues that make things like travelling on public transport, for example, difficult. Mm-hmm. So an occupational therapist can actually help you overcome or work through some of those issues.
Developing coping strategies.
Yeah. So I just need to remind everyone, I'm not a doctor. I'm actually a communications manager.
Absolutely.
At Mind, but I'm just reporting secondhand from my dealings with the counsellors there. But, so there's occupational therapy. There's counselling for individuals, couples and families and other relationships as well. And so, I mean, some of the opportunities there, you know, for example, if somebody's transitioning...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a challenge within yourself, but then, of course, there's broader challenges with how does your family deal with that? And, of course, Christmas is an absolutely, you know, is one of those times when that sort of stuff comes to a head.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Mean, you know, what happens when you go home for Christmas for the first time? I mean, people may have known that you've started transitioning, family members.
Mm-hmm.
Most may be supportive, but, you know, there's maybe that one member who won't change the pronoun that they call you by. A lot of these issues are really, really challenging. So,
absolutely.
Yep.
And particularly at a time where, you know, the LGBTIQ community had everybody discussing us and our community. So, you know, even families that are supportive will probably be bringing that up if they know that someone in their family happens, even if it's measures of support, which might be bringing back, you know, both Ian and I, having covered the whole thing over 3 months, found it at quite times very, very challenging.
Look, it's really interesting because I've spoken to so many people, you know, the whole experience of the postal survey and what's happened since is, you know, so many people say, I'm not a snowflake and I don't want to be weak, but, you know, as it's dragged on, it's really worn me out. And, you know, it's just one of those things we've had to keep going, and we need coping strategies for all of these things.
Absolutely. I think levels of anxiety and stress were elevated across the board from some of the preliminary research that's been coming out from surveys from that.
Look, for sure, but I think we all know from our own experience, it just went on and on. And
every day.
Every day. There was a new sort of little humiliation or insult to add to the pile, and you know, you just feel like there's no end in sight.
So Max, what do you think about the different approaches that we can take over this extra stressful next couple of weeks? So the holiday period, you were saying that, you know, one of the things is for some people, not for everyone, they'll be with family or with friends and there might be some of those difficult situations. Any thoughts about how people can cope with that? Because, you know, people who are perhaps not usually stressed might be in a stressful situation over the next couple of weeks. What can they do?
Oh, look, as I said, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
But I spoke to members of our counselling staff at the Mind Equality Centre today, and I got some great tips. And, I mean, I think, it's on a sliding scale. I mean, some of us absolutely just can't go to a family Christmas because the level of aggression, you know, maybe we've been thrown out of home. And, you know, if that's a clear-cut situation, then maybe you might be really resolved about that, or maybe you might be feeling really isolated. But just as difficult is, you know, maybe half of your family really accept you and you've got great relationships, but what if there's one or two that really get under your skin, or, you know, you really have an issue with, or more to the point, have an issue with you, and you don't want to let your mum down, or you really love your mum or your dad or somebody, but it's really hard to be there. So look, some of the great tips, I mean, the first thing I think the best advice any of the counsellors said to me is, look, don't expect too much of Christmas. A lot of people think, and it's the same as with New Year's Eve, you know, you think everyone else out there is having a fabulous time and that you've got to meet this level of personal satisfaction. So many people you speak to have a really shitty Christmas that's really stressful in all sorts of ways. So I think that's the first thing to do, is to really set your expectations.
Because we have that expectation. Yvonne was talking about that at the top of the show, sort of saying we relate it to what we were like as children, or what we remember sort of in that gilded version of what it was like as children.
Ah, nostalgia.
It is. Yeah. It's a lot of nostalgia, yes. And so if it doesn't meet that, we sort of feel somehow disappointed. So we're saying don't have too high expectations, and you might be surprised.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think that's the thing, you know, you've got constantly on TV ads and so on what the ideal Christmas is supposed to look like, and it is supposed to be traditionally a family occasion. But, you know, of course, maybe you find your own family to spend Christmas with and do it in a suitable way. But, you know, if you are going to Christmas and there is somebody who's going to get under your skin, be prepared. You know, have a think before and think, what are those things, you know, what are those things that turned into blazing rows last time, that turned into China being thrown across the room, you know? And, you know, what's that person going to say and get on my skin? What am I going to do when that comes up, you know? Is there, am I going to ignore it? Is there something I'm going to say back that won't escalate into a pointless argument? Maybe I need to just go to the toilet and get a bit of quiet time.
Yep.
Take a few breaths and go back and just think, I don't need to go there.
Yeah. You know?
And just remember why I'm there. Maybe I'm there for my mum.
Yeah. You know? Maybe, and having people like you can call on the day if you are, you know, go to the toilet and just give a friend a call just to get some affirmation. Is that something that...
Absolutely. Yeah. Good idea. Hmm. Yeah.
And if people are struggling, not everyone will have, many people will not have a traditional biological family that they're going to hang out with over this period. Mm. Any thoughts for them and about, you know, connecting through the sort of things we heard in the previous two interviews, or just how people can look after themselves? Because some people may end up really having quite a hard time, and then where can they turn to?
Yeah, so that, how do we handle that kind of, if the social isolation that can come about when we, maybe, yeah, the family isn't an option?
Look, I really love that advice that, was it Ian? Sorry.
Richard
mentioned earlier, which was to actually sit down and take that time to write down an appreciation of those people that mean a lot to you.
Yeah.
And you know, the end of the year is a great time to thank people and of course, in the process of writing that, you're really reminding yourself that you've got some people there who really care about you and have really, really done some good things for you and made a positive impact. And I think it's the same thing, you know. I mean, sometimes there's not a lot of money around, and it's really great to, you know, it's so commercialised, Christmas, and to really just cut through and actually, you know, even ring somebody or send them a note to just say thank you. You know, that's really what hopefully Christmas ought to be about.
We know how to use post boxes now, so we can mail letters.
Indeed. We've all learned how to put that letter in the slot, or email, or, you know, invite somebody around, cook them a home-cooked meal. Why not?
Well, and orphan Christmases, I'm starting to see a lot of people post up even on Facebook in queer groups saying, oh, is anyone having one of these that I could go to, or I'm posting one? So there does seem to be one of the advantages of having a close-knit community is that it's easier to reach out, and people who might not know personally would still be happy to extend a bit of a companionship and food.
Yeah,
which is really, to me, what Christmas is all about.
Yeah. And look, another good suggestion from one of the counsellors too is that, you know, you think, okay, I mean, it is a challenge because all of the usual structure of your life falls away over Christmas. You know, there's the working day or the, you know, all of the rhythm, the normal rhythms of life get disrupted, and suddenly you've got this big expanse of time. If you are a bit isolated and alone, you've really, you know, and suddenly you've got the day to fill. And I think it's really important to think, okay, where are the stress points going to be? And to really break up that time and think, right, what can I do? And plan ahead. Think, right, I'm going to go and see a movie on Tuesday. Look it up and know that you've got that coming up. And I think to take some time out in the day as well, which was another good suggestion, and to look after yourself, to stop and think, what can I do to look after myself today? And stop and think about the good things that you've achieved and what you're looking forward to doing in the future.
Absolutely. Now, I think a good mental health tip that one of my friends passed on was the Doctor Who special is always on Christmas, and that tends to be pretty lighthearted as far as without being too mistletoey.
But it's the last Peter Capaldi. I know.
No, it's great because there's a woman coming through and it's very exciting.
That's exciting too. But I am looking forward to that. Max?
I suppose it does sound like, in summary, so if you are with family, like, and you might find some stresses, just really spend some time before you go to think about what those points might come up, and to get and to have some strategies in place for if they do slash when they do. And if you're going to be by yourself, find, you know, reach out to friends through phone or email, all those little red boxes that apparently send postage to somewhere now. And also Boxing Day is when all the good movies come out, so maybe book yourself a ticket.
And look, you know, we've talked a lot through this whole thing about, you know, being alone being a bad thing. I mean, I'm one of a number of people. I just, because I have a very quiet Christmas and I just love it. I mean, you know, it's a great opportunity to rest, to catch up with yourself, to plan ahead. You know, it's not all bad. Maybe that's a great thing.
I better peace and quiet. I love that idea.
All right. Well, that is it for the episode of The Informer. The Informer will be back tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. to bring you the day's big news. And, of course, a podcast of the episode will be up tonight. Are available to download at joy.org.au/The Informer or on your preferred podcast platform.
We'd both like to thank tonight's guests. That's Yvonne Gardner, Richard Keane and Max McLean. My name is Ian Muchamore.
I'm Ruby Susan. There's more Informer tomorrow. Richard, Ian and I will be back next year. And coming up, of course, on Joy is Richard with the news, followed by Worldwide Wave. Thank you for listening. Have a very happy holiday and a great new year. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.